All right, so we don't want to eat carbs, but we do need something, Baruch. Feed us, darn
it. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. So we've got some cool specials. It's the second last one for 2018. Our raw products, we've got raw beef kebabs, were $2.09 a kilo, are now $1.99 a kilo. And we've got lamb ribbikis, were $1.49 a kilo and are now $1.29 a kilo. Those are very cool products to take with you to Braai for the holidays, or if you're staying at home to Braai. Great value over there. And then in terms of cooked products, we've got a really cool product, and it's very popular at our restaurant, the Burger and Brew. It's lamb macon. So the regular price of lamb macon is $3.29 per kilo and is now only $2.99 per kilo. And then in terms of nice comfort food, we've got chicken puka curry. It is a Jamie Oliver recipe. It's done with drumsticks, so there's a lot of flavor. And that is normally $1.89 a kilo and is now only $1.59 a kilo.
Excellent. What are we doing about holidays?
So we are coming with you to your holidays. So we are going to Plett, we are going to Cape Town, we're going to Durban, Umhlanga, East London.
And you're coming with me to Cambodia.
We are going to Cambodia.
Oh, what? Oh, really? So you're doing food as far as Cambodia this year?
We're doing Cambodia,
I believe you're all over Hong Kong. Is that true?
I wouldn't say all over, but we're in Kowloon and in Hong Kong City. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. You know, because I happened to have received a menu from one of the kosher restaurants yesterday in Hong Kong. Not that I was comparing prices or anything, because that just wouldn't be what I would do. But I have to say that that I don't think we should ever complain about the price of kosher food in Johannesburg ever, ever again. Well, I'm just saying, if you want to order a nice Yemenite Mediterranean chicken, what do you think it would cost at a restaurant?
At a restaurant in South Africa, I would imagine a plate like that is 150 rand, 130 rand.
Yeah, well, here it's just under 600 rand. Yeah. I mean, obviously, if you want a French-style scotch fillet, that's a 250-gram steak. That'll cost you just, what, 900 rand?
Yeah, great value.
It's great value. So there we go. Maybe you should be opening a restaurant there. Maybe Burgers and Brew need to go to Hong Kong.
Exactly.
Or have you ever been to the Red Heifer in Cancun?
No, not in Cancun, actually. No.
This massive, like, 400-seat kosher restaurant in Cancun. Like, quite amazing. You just mortgage your home and make a booking. Fantastic. But, you know, it is the festive season.
Yes.
And we are a multicultural radio station and a multicultural community.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
That does mean that sometimes around about the 25th of December, we need to eat turkey. Tell me about...
I thought Jews traditionally ate Chinese food, or was that American Jews eat Chinese food around that time of year?
I think American Jews eat Chinese food 3 nights of the week, at least.
Well, you know something, Chinese food has become a little unhealthy, and we've replaced it with very traditional Jewish food, sushi. The food of our ancestors.
Well, I was just going to say, but we know that that's Japanese and not Chinese, but all right, potato, potato.
But where on earth can I find a kosher turkey?
So the only way of you getting a kosher turkey is when you're coming back from the United States or Israel and you put one in your suitcase.
I was just going to say, my mother-in-law is very good at this. She normally brings, I'm not even exaggerating, 12 turkey breasts at a time.
Yes.
In her suitcase.
But I don't want breasts.
But
I
she
want
doesn't
the,
tell my father-in-law, so I hope he's not listening. Because he doesn't
when
know.
You get stopped at customs at R. Tambo, you just tell them that it's your culture to eat turkey, and they just let
it through.
Oh,
it's a cultural thing.
It's a cultural. We're multicultural.
Right.
So I cannot get a kosher
turkey.
You
can't, guys. I'll tell you what. My father... in the early 90s, used to bring from Empire. That's like the greatest
turkey.
Yes,
what happened to Empire turkeys?
So that just, I think a lot of Jews left the country in the late 80s, early 90s. And
but
the
we still eat
was,
here, Baruch.
No,
you have to bring a 40-foot container at a time, which is like a lot of turkeys, which would take probably 1.5 years for the community to eat, which is a lot of... It's quite a... financially,
imagine
it's a big
outlay. Imagine if Stan and Pete were supplying turkeys.
It would be much cheaper because it would have a greater audience.
Can I get duck?
Yes, we can organize you duck, are we?
Because, you know, there's now this amazing American tradition, what's called the tadukan.
Where you put a chicken
inside a duck, you put the duck inside the turkey.
But why would one
and
want
you cook,
to?
Because you can.
Three different textures, three different flavor profiles.
Look, I'm not a duck.
Three different birdies.
Really?
I am such a duck person. duck lorange.
Listen, duck is
I found it too sweet, the way it's cooked. Although, you know, when I did more traveling to China, and I would always land up at these non-kosher restaurants drinking my Diet Coke, I would always, they would often take us to, in Beijing, Peking duck was obviously a very, very big, very traditional thing. And I would sit there, and that would look very, very nice.
Yes, that's unbelievable.
So I can tell you that having spent 6 weeks wandering through rural China and eating a lot of Peking duck,
right,
I came back to South Africa and decided I was going to make kosher duck for Shabbos dinner.
Right.
So Baruch, I called your father, who tracked me down a kosher duck. It wasn't easy. It took about a month to find me. There was apparently one left somewhere at the back of a freezer. And I invited my parents and friends
from the 70s,
over. Yeah. And I looked up the recipe, and Peking duck takes you about a week to make.
Yes.
Because you boil it, you leave it out to dry, you hang it, you have to blow air into it, you boil it again, you hang it up. And now I'd taken an entire week, hours every day, preparing this thing. Came Friday afternoon, stuck on the oven, stuck the duck in the oven, invited parents and friends over, and it was in the middle of the first round of load shedding.
Oh, no.
And the electricity went off.
Oh, no.
And I made my parents and guests sit there for 3 hours in the hope that the electricity would come on again. And when it finally did and I could finish cooking the duck, it was actually probably the worst meal I've ever cooked.
That's a terrible story.
Shame.
It's really a terrible
and
story.
And I've never tried
to find you another duck.
You have to find me another duck. I don't think I have the guts to try Peking duck again, but I'll
all right,
do
but,
a
but
duck
I've got
lorange.
A very important question from Ellie, and I hear it, and I know that it's very, very insensitive, not only to the vegans, but to people who like perlimon and stuff. What about goose liver melting on a burger?
Yeah, so that's called foie gras. Is that pronunciation? Foie gras. Okay. So I went to Kosher Fest last year in November, and I met a few suppliers that do the stuff, and we're actually going to bring it out for the Pesach retreat. But again, in terms of schlepping the stuff over here, you have to bring like a certain quantity. So what we're planning on doing...
I thought they were stopping this, that you weren't allowed it anymore.
No, so it's good now. The OU have given a heksher.
But no, but wasn't there cruelty?
There are moral concerns.
I thought it was being stopped because of cruelty issues.
So different states in America don't allow it. Most states do allow it.
Ah.
It's massive in Europe.
Massive. So you can't go to a kosher restaurant in Paris without foie gras on everything, including... your soup.
In fact, I was at a bar mitzvah in Paris a year and a half ago, and they served macaroons with foie gras.
No.
Which were delicious. But if you walk through the Marais district, which is a very Jewish district in Paris, all the little kosher delis all have cans of kosher foie gras. But there are severe moral concerns because they force feed the geese.
Yeah, the way to handle that, by the way, is just to not think about it.
Yeah. Like actually anything to do with animals.
Exactly right. It's the only way we can eat them is just stop thinking about it, for goodness sake.
Like when you get served this delicious piece of gefilte fish and it's got this like jelly on top of it, you just don't think about it. You close your eyes, you add the grain.
Okay, look, I wouldn't have gone so far.
No, you can't do jelly on gefilte fish.
That's very 80s, very
gone.
80s. Done. The carrot's gone. Nobody boils a carrot and slices it on a gefilte fish.
I saw something very cool on Instagram, speaking about carrots and 2018. When people fry latkes, so a lot of like the crispy bits, etc., like contaminate the oil, so to speak. You have to like keep changing the oil. So if you put a carrot inside the oil while you're frying the latkes, you infuse a bit of carrot flavor into the latkes, which is awesome, and it like gathers
all these
crumbs.
It's one of those magic pool filters.
Yeah, it's like a filter, and you don't have to keep changing the oil.
That's very clever. Not that we should be eating a lot of oil ourselves, really.
No, I think for the next 8 days, that's okay.
Well, not a full 8 days. We'll give you another, say, 4.5 days.
Exactly right. All right, so there you have it. Time is 8:27. I'm Harold Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM. That's Baruch Lurie. That is the big brisket slot. And as we said a few weeks ago, it's certainly not the big cabbage. Yes, I see the messages from vegans. And I appreciate your participation in this slot, not one bit.